Mecum Auctions, the world's largest collector car auction company, returns to Indy with Dana Mecum's 37th Original Spring Classic, May 10th through the 18th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. 3,000 muscle cars, Corvettes, exotics, and more. Broadcast on Motor Trend TV and streaming live on Max. From avid collectors to those new to the Mecum experience, we welcome everyone. Register to bid now at Mecum.com.
Todd Rokita is leading the way on a lawsuit. I believe we've said things like that before. The Department of Justice has no authority to dictate to the states in matters that concern their sovereign right to ensure safe, secure, and free elections. Oh, well, okay then. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. There are 16, is it 16 attorneys general? Led by Todd Rokita, writing a letter to the AG Merrick Garland, criticizing his comments from March. He was there at the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Selma, Alabama, and claimed that democracy is under attack by, and I'm quoting here, discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary restrictions on access to the ballot. I'm not quite sure what it is that he is referring to there. Are you arguing that someone cannot get on the ballot? Well, Tony, look what happened in the state of Indiana with John Rust. Change the laws. Change them. Change the laws. What are we discussing here? Once you're done complaining about it, and just maybe, let's be on the same page. Once everyone is done moaning and bitching about it, change it. Has anybody talked about changing it? Has anybody put out legislation saying, let's change this? It's too difficult to get on the ballot in Indiana. Let's make it easier to get on the ballot in Indiana. Should there be any regulation to be getting onto a ballot in Indiana? Do you even have to live in Indiana? Do you have to prove residency in Indiana? Oh, so there are things that we think somebody should do. Great. Let's go over them and then let's get it done. What is the complaining? The complaining is nonsense. As a matter of fact, that noise is super annoying. But the states decide for the state. I don't want to hear anything from the feds. The people who want to hear the federal government get more involved are people who believe that you should have less of a say in your own life. I call these people weird. Now, I call them other things, but this is radio. If you catch me out and about amongst the people, yes, I do get out of the house. You might hear me say something about these people. The states decide. I don't care what Merrick Garland wants. And I'm not interested in what some radical thinks the states should be forced to do. You have no idea what I think you should be forced to do. Is that the way? Point is, I don't want to force you to do anything, but I do want to be left alone. And you weirdos think you should be able to, like, impose your will on the rest of us. Weirdos. Garland launched the Justice Department's Election Threats Task Force. This happened in March, doubling the number of lawyers in the voting section of the Civil Rights Division. Well, that's going to solve it, because as you know, the lawyers always make everything better. Todd Rokita is leading the way here. I did reach out to get him on the show. I didn't hear back from him. It's possible he didn't see it. I will try again to break this down. The popcorn moment is coming up. Tony Katz, 93 W.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy and and in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
IBC, good morning.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm.
There has to come a moment where everybody just gets tired of hearing Joe Biden gaffes. Right? There has to come a moment when everybody says, could I please not hear one more of these things? Because they're so often, they're daily. Tony, don't play any more of them. We don't need to hear any more gaffes, because the man makes so many gaffes.
Name me one.
Well, I can name you many, sir. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Good to be with you. I can name you many, many gaffes. So many that one would think that you have what is known as a problem. Like a real problem. So I debate whether to share it with you. And then I immediately said, debate over, I'm sharing it with you. The popcorn moment, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. It's the story you need to hear to believe. Then grab your popcorn, because there is more. I bring it up because anybody who thinks that this does not have an effect on the election is out of their mind. And one of the things that we are witnessing as we get into this election year is what is actually moving an electorate. So I've been reaching out, for example, to friends who do radio in Indiana, right? Speaking with some other radio hosts, what are they hearing? What are they seeing? Who's really kind of moving the votes? Who's gathering excitement? I'm going to go over some of that in just a little bit. But so many times we're told that what we see with our own eyes isn't real. Somehow that what we know to be true is not true, and how dare we notice it? How dare we notice that we have an issue at the southern border, we have an issue with illegal immigrants, and they are illegal immigrants, not undocumented. So bigoted is to say the term undocumented. Oh my goodness gracious. I do not understand these racists who want to claim that people who have broken the law are just undocumented. These bigots, these hateful shrews who want to say that if you came into the country illegally, the problem is you just don't have a piece of paper. It is so hateful to people who have worked the system and have come to the country legally. It's beyond me. And I don't know why people like Representative Ocasio-Cortez or Congressman Andre Carson or former Speaker Pelosi, I don't know why they hate brown people so much, but they do. They do. I don't get it myself. Now, that twist of conversation I enjoy tremendously, and I have no plans of stopping. Why? Exclusive poll from Axios. Latino support for border wall deportations jumps. Well, no crap. Is that right? People who are in the country legally, people who are citizens of the United States, don't like lawbreakers. Film at 11. The only people shocked by this are people who serve on the Indianapolis City County Council. Everybody else totally gets it. And no. There are six Republicans on the council, and they are really speaking their mind. Guys, I am looking at you. Really? No one has anything to say about this communist Jesse Brown? And what is this whole thing with him and calling the police on a black person? There's a story out there that one of the citizen journalists has, and I haven't had a chance to read it in full yet, but could someone explain that to I would love that explained to me. The percentage of Latinos who say they support building a border wall and deporting all undocumented immigrants has jumped 10 points since 2021. This is an Axios Ipsos Latino poll that is in partnership with Telemundo. The finding suggests that former President Trump's calls for more border security and perhaps his anti-immigrant rhetoric are registering even among people who may have ties to immigration, which means there is no anti-immigration rhetoric. It's we're sick and tired of lawbreakers. Who's we? Oh, you know, rational folk. Not people who want to reward illegality to tear down the system. People who recognize that you should have a system and you should have laws and laws should be followed. And we should engage the Liberty Society with as few regulations as possible to allow the maximum amount of freedom as possible without chaos. That's liberty. Liberty being different from freedom. Of course, we've always been correct on the subject. We've been honest about the subject. Over the past couple days, I've been doing this thing about these people who want to say, well, you have to call them undocumented. No person is illegal. It is such hateful talk. I am surprised the left allows it. I love that turn there. I really do. And now I've got this polling. So now we've got it all. And the left, in many ways, can't stand that you should point out reality. Reality is not what should be seen. Reality is the issue. You want reality? This is reality for the people who want to reelect and run to reelect Joe Biden.
Elect me. I'm in the 21st century.
The man does not know what century he's in. Elect me, I'm in the 20th century. I'm not even sure how that conversation came up. But so we are clear, the idea that Joe Biden doesn't know what century he is in is just another example of what we know to be true, that Joe Biden doesn't know what century he is in. The gaffes are one thing. It is when the gaffes build on other gaffes, and you see again and again and again and again that he has no connection whatsoever to reality, that he thinks he's talking to Mitterrand, the former president of France, who's been dead for decades. And they're going to tell me about his vigor and his strength. No, not me. They're going to tell you about his vigor and his strength and his mind. And he is so probing with his questions.
Elect me. I'm in the 20th century, 21st century.
Can we discuss how old he sounds? How frail he sounds? No, can't discuss. You can't. They can't. We certainly can. And we certainly will. This is just one of the many, many, many reasons I state that the Democrats will not run this man for the election. It will change. It will change at the convention. I mean, honestly, how could it not?
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Damn this traffic jam. How I hate to be late. It hurts my motor to go so slow. Damn this traffic jam. Time I get home,
36 televised games. That is a lot of pressure on Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. The women's game will never be as popular as the men's game. Overall, I think that is an acceptable statement. And certainly some people would say that Caitlin Clark challenges that. Take a look at what happened with the women's final getting more viewers than the men's final. That's real. And I've had some people say to me, well, Tony, the women's final was on broadcast and the men's final was on cable. Sorry, that dog won't hunt. 18.9 million people watched Caitlin Clark. That's a thing. And it doesn't get denied. And it also puts an end to this idea that you have to do things in prime time. 9:20 p.m. Eastern, ridiculous. You could do a game at 5:30 in the afternoon. Everybody will reset their schedule. It's totally fine. The only cultural advantage to living on the West Coast is that you can watch Monday Night Football and then get a good night's sleep. That's it. The one clear advantage of living on the West Coast, football starts at 10 a.m. on a Sunday. The day is over, and you can still, like, go out to dinner and spend time with family and get some sleep. So we should be clear that's all they have. I am curious about how the Indiana Fever manage expectations. Because they have the first pick in the draft. Caitlin Clark is in the draft. They're going to take Caitlin Clark. There is no other. What was it with the Colts? They took Trev Alberts as opposed to whom? And Mel Kiper lost his mind. All right. It would be worse than that. But managing expectations of the fans, managing expectations of the team, of other players, where Caitlin Clark is going to get all this attention and trying to get some of the attention off of her. I mean, now you got it. You're into a thing where you're no longer just talking about women's basketball. You're talking about how a team functions and how a fan base functions. These things can easily fall apart and you can have a mess. So I am very curious, and I'd love to know. I did reach out to somebody I know over there. I would love to know from the Fever, like from just a management perspective, how do you manage it all? How do you manage the fans? How do you manage the media? How do you manage the team and the players? Because they're going to see one person get all this attention, and they're going to say, what, I'm not on the team too? But that doesn't happen? You're right. Jealousies never happen. 36 TV appearances. That also tells us that Caitlin Clark is the draw. People want to see this phenom shoot. Now, can the WNBA, just like college women's basketball, can they hold on to this possible newfound attraction, or is it all the circus goes wherever Caitlin goes? I think it's the latter, but we'll find out. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. WIBC.com, you will find my interviews one-on-one with the gubernatorial candidates on the Republican side. Tony Katz, that's me, by the way, 93 WIBC. That is the station. Producer Carl behind the board, Matt Baer in the WIBC Traffic Center, Ryan Hedrick and Kurt Darling in the WIBC Newsroom. You can find everything at WIBC.com, including the podcast. You can get it. You can subscribe. It's good for you. It builds character. Did the interviews. They're all right there. Jamie Rittenour and Curtis Hill and Eric Doden and Suzanne Crouch and Brad Chambers and Mike Braun did the interviews, sat down 45 minutes to an hour with each of them. I am here to tell you that none of these candidates has captured the imagination of Republicans in Indiana. Zero. This is, you can argue, anecdotal, but there is nothing that has created excitement, and nothing that has really engaged major levels of differentiation in categories that I think people are looking towards. So, for example, faith is a part of a great number of these candidates. You hear Eric Doden talking about it all the time. It is Jamie Rittenour's entire platform in how she refers to herself and discusses herself and this run. No issue with that whatsoever. That people want to utilize faith first. It is not, as I see it, what is moving the electorate first. What's moving the electorate first is property taxes. What's moving the electorate first is this a state that I can trust when it comes to, for example, LEAP? Because LEAP was poorly laid out to the people of Indiana. LEAP was laid out as, that's right, we took your land, now we're going to take your water, but don't worry, you'll love the economic benefit. LEAP was a crapping on Hoosiers. And I don't even think ideas like LEAP are bad ideas. I don't think they're bad ideas at all. But the presentation was a mess, and it's like the state said, we don't care. Mike Braun had all the momentum going in and the name ID. I have no idea. That I have no reason to believe that that is still true, except it might be residually true, and that'll squeak him over a finish line. I put forth to you that none of these candidates bring any excitement. I like Brad Chambers. I like the business concepts. I like him on a personal level. The excitement, I don't see it from him. Well, he's more in that Mitch Daniels vein. I don't disagree, but it would also help if you were Mitch Daniels. Mike Braun, I think that the election issues or the campaign issues with the fine, I think that absolutely hurts. I think that while he has been a senator for 5 years, people do see it as the Senate was too tough. Now you're going to come do this. At what moment do we think you're actually focused on Hoosier lives and not just your own career? I do think that's the way people look at it. In the interviews, I thought that coming out of the gate, Suzanne Crouch, the lieutenant governor, did the best job. I felt that way when the interview started. Not so much when the interview ended. And I commend you to go watch it. Eric Doden came across to me as a very nice dude. Like a sincere cat. I can't tell you that has connected with voters in a way that can make him compete with the money of Braun and Chambers. I think that the guy, not that he is my vote, but who I have said this from the beginning when asked privately, because I didn't want to get into it publicly at the time. I think that there is an actual groundswell for Curtis Hill. There is an activist base that is serious and sees the social issues as being on par with the economic issues. And he is the only guy who has been open and clear on the social issues. And I think that that is helping him tremendously. But the idea that that has turned into a, ooh, he's good on these things, and so maybe he'd be good on the other things, I haven't seen that. I just think that there is an activist side that is very excited about him, or very willing to be very excited about him. It's less than a month to this primary, and I have not seen where these gubernatorial candidates have broken out. I would go watch the videos. I would go watch what it is that we discussed. Property taxes, FSSA, education. They might not be exciting, but one of them needs to be the next governor. So you got a little more work to do. Find it all at WIBC.com.